Welcome to another episode of Grit
and Grace
with Dana
and Alexis.
And we are kind of...
Today is coffee time.
This is coffee time with Alexis and Dana.
This is what happens when we get together and we just have things to talk about.
That's right. So we got a Scooter's order. We're having our coffee and we're going to do some chit-chatting.
Yeah.
And feel free to enjoy the chit-chat and... Yeah, so let's go. Okay, so we're going to go on your thing first.
Okay.
So what were you saying? So you were telling me something here.
This last week, I have a new obsession mm-hmm. on TikTok. I found it on TikTok. I know, probably mm-hmm. not the best place I should be, but whatever. Yeah. This is what I do when I sit down to eat lunch, is I get on TikTok. Mm-hmm. And there's this murder trial going on right now. Her name is Lindsay Clancy. I'll tell you what happened, and then I want to tell some more information because... I am actually on her side on this.
Okay.
So don't shoot me yet until you hear everything.
I won't.
But so she ended up, what she's on trial for is she killed her 3 kids. Okay. That's the facts, right? Everybody knows this.
Mm-hmm.
However, what the trial is for is not whether she did it or not. It's whether she had... what they are calling postpartum psychosis.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And I truly believe that's what she has.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much information coming out about this. She was undiagnosed bipolar. She was screaming for help. She went to 3 different doctors.
Yeah.
Was put on 12 different medications. Every time a medication, she would be on it for a few days, a week. And then she literally wrote down, like, this is how many milligrams I took. This is how I felt. Uh-huh. She would write down, I'm having horrible thoughts. I'm anxiety. I'm having depression. I'm having hallucinations and things like that. And she would go to the doctor with this. And the doctor would be like, oh, let's just up your meds.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would up her meds. And she would do the same thing again. And she would go back to the doctor. Oh, we need to put you on a different medication. She went through 12 different medications doing this.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Okay. I mean,
I
feel, honestly, like, I don't usually feel like this in cases like this, but I actually have a lot of compassion for her. I forgot to add in, when she, after she killed her kids, she jumped out of a 2-story window, cut her wrist, cut her neck, and jumped out of a 2-story window. She is now paralyzed. And I'm not... exactly sure. I need to get the more details on this, whether they actually have her in prison or a mental hospital right now, but I know she's on suicide watch to this day. This happened 3 years ago.
Okay.
And she's now just on trial for it. The trial is literally for, if she's found not guilty, she would be in a mental hospital probably the rest of her life.
She probably
does
need to be in a mental hospital.
Or if she's found guilty, she'll be in prison.
I think she needs to be in a facility where she can get
I agree. I this is
help.
An issue. This healthcare system.
Oh my gosh.
And here's the other thing. This is what makes me mad when I watch this.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the videos I watch are agree. Like, we're not, there's no argument. She did it. We know this. And her husband even got up on the stand for 2 days and basically his answers supported her.
Right.
She was a good mom. She did everything right, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, which I think speaks volumes that he's always been in support. I mean, and they are divorced now, obviously, you know, but the prosecution is trying to say, oh, she has been planning this out for years and she's OCD, and because she's a perfectionist and her life wasn't the way perfect, that she just decided to kill her kids. Are you kidding me?
No. Okay, so especially with all that documentation and her going for help, I need help, I need help.
Oh, here's the other thing. Her ex-husband and her ex-mother-in-law are actually suing the healthcare providers
Good.
In all of this.
Good.
On her behalf.
Yeah.
Which also says something, I think. That's, you know?
I'm telling you, our system throws pills at us.
That's all they want to do.
Throws pills. Yeah. Throw pills. Like, here's a pill. Here's a pill. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
And then the prosecution brought up the fact, because like she would have one bottle and only 6 pills were gone. And then another bottle and only, you know, 4 pills were gone. And they were trying to get at the husband, you know, because he had all these pill bottles in his truck that they found. And the husband was like, yeah, because every time she went to the doctor, they would up her dosage and she would say, what do I do with the current prescription?
Right.
And they told her, give it to your husband and he will get rid of it for you. And he just hadn't gotten around to getting rid, but they were like trying to accuse her of, oh, she just wasn't on her meds. No, she documented that this is what I'm taking And, you know, and she would document every time, and she'd go back to the doctor, and now this is what I'm on. And they did say if you have undiagnosed bipolar, any type of meds could throw you in a psychosis.
Right.
So.
Wow.
Which they said she had all the signs, and they totally disregarded it. And I'm not trying to hammer. This case just really opened my eyes to mm-hmm. a lot of this. Mm-hmm. And I have never experienced like psychosis like that, but I know like I was not right after I had my son.
Oh, I know.
You know, I mean,
your emotions, yes. your hormones are out of whack.
Sometimes
what you're thinking is, I can remember, I should be happy.
Yeah.
But I actually feel weepy. And
I remember one time, and this was even within the first year of his life, but I had this incredible fear and anxiety come over me,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, and they were explaining that a lot of times, like when it was time for her to go back from work, that she just would be gripped with fear and anxiety of leaving the kids. And I had this one time of, mm-hmm. but it wasn't leaving him. It was him dying for whatever reason, you know what I mean? And I was like, yes. And it just gripped me.
Yeah.
And I was like, Alexis, you gotta get over this. Right. Like, you can't be doing this.
No, that makes me remember as well. After having my first child, then I started having, I had anxiety issues anyway before I had my first child. But then after my first child, I remember just getting ready for work. I'd have shots of anxiety going through my system,
mm-hmm.
and I couldn't figure out. I thought, what am I afraid of? I'm just putting my makeup on and I'm like having an anxiety attack, you know, and I don't know. I didn't want to, the other thing is I didn't want anybody else raising my kids. So I worked as a director of a daycare. So he got to come with me.
Oh, nice.
So at least he was with me during the day while I was at the center.
Right.
But for some reason, the anxiety just really kicked in harder after I had my first child. Then after the twins, there would be times the anxiety shots were so bad. I was literally exhausted from the shots of anxiety that would shoot through me. So after I had them, it compounded, got worse.
Yep.
And I'd be folding laundry or folding clothes. And then I would just all of a sudden be like my whole adrenaline mm-hmm. shot of anxiety. Yep. And I'm like, what am I scared of?
What is going on?
So I was put on Buspar I went on that for about a year.
Okay.
So with that actually, it didn't affect my mental state. The doctor described it as stopping the pathway that had rutted in that anxiety pathway.
Okay.
So my system had made a rut.
Okay.
And I was having this anxiety. So she wanted to change the rut, get rid of the rut and make a new one without the anxiety there. And so I can remember going on that dosage, 30 milligrams, and then after I was on it, I'd be really dizzy and ill and nauseated.
Mm-hmm.
So we cut the dose to 15, and when I got about a week into that, I had such relief of not having anxiety attacks all the time. My body was exhausted.
Yeah. Oh, I bet.
And
your
nervous system. Yeah. To not feel that shot of adrenaline shooting through me was like, at first I'm like, wait, this is not normal.
Yeah.
Because my normal had been anxiety,
you know,
shooting through me at random times.
Yeah.
And when it stopped, I had to go on that for a year. Then I went off for about six. I went off, and they came back.
Right.
So I went back on for another 6 months, and then I weaned back, and then nothing. And
Good.
I haven't had any of that
Good.
Since. And that has been. My twins were. How old were they? They were in first grade, kindergarten, first grade, when I finally went on the medication. So for their first 6 years of their life, like my son's life and then my twin's life, their mother was walking around with horrible anxiety shooting through her body.
And then she's like,
knock it off. You know, Tim, like, what's wrong with you? I kept thinking, what's wrong with you? Stop it. You know,
and I want to make it clear, like, I'm not anti-meds.
Me either.
I'm not saying that. There are certain, but we definitely have to be careful. But there is a huge issue, I believe, in this country. I'm not trying to get political or anything.
But we
have got to address this postpartum issue because more and more women are dealing with it. And then you are seeing cases where there's psychosis and stuff, and we're missing something.
Yeah.
We're definitely, because there's more and more cases of this happening, and like as they're going through the case and stuff, they're talking about when the husband was on the stand, he went on and on and on about how great of a mom she was, and they had pictures of them doing family things. And I did not like I'm not liking the prosecution in this case, but she would be like, well, if she was so depressed, then why were you going to Thanksgiving? And why were you out doing this? And I was like,
because you make yourself do stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. We were still living.
You feel like a shell of yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, and even like, I can't really relate to a lot of that. Yeah. I definitely had the baby blues after I had Marshall and I had some anxiety and things like that. I didn't go past that. I didn't feel the need to go to the doctor with that. I was very lucky. I know how bad it can get. Mm-hmm. Not personally, but I've just seen so many stories that there's no doubt. but when I went through my betrayal trauma, I was a shell of myself and I still went to work every day and
You keep fighting.
I had a son who needed me and I just did life. I was going through the motions. She was going through the motions. Mm-hmm. She had to. She had three little
ones. She was
ones.
Fighting.
Yeah.
She was actually literally fighting.
Yeah.
So,
and she was quiet. She was doing the right thing. She actually checked herself into a hospital for 5 days, a five-day thing.
Golly.
And basically at the end of the 5 days, they were like, there's nothing else we can do for you. And so she had to go home.
Oh.
Yeah. And then she checked herself into a postpartum place. And they basically said, we don't have the right resources to help you. Because basically what it sounded like was it was beyond our capabilities. Like she had so much going on that it was beyond what they could do. And they felt like it wasn't a good fit. So they told her to leave.
Okay.
So
so our system wants to push pills.
Yeah.
But yet... the follow through also is lacking.
And we're not addressing this issue, I feel like, because this is not the first case that this has happened.
Right.
And people want to play it out of like, you know, they're a terrible mom and they're trying to, and maybe there are certain cases like that, but I just feel like it's more of a
mental health issue.
I think there's a mental health issue, period. I think there's an epidemic going on right now.
There is.
But when you have the hormones involved with giving childbirth, and then you may have some sort of, like in her case, they are saying there were signs time and time again that she was bipolar and it was undiagnosed. You know, so if you have something underlying going on and then you have a baby, like.
Wow. talk about a whammo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Talk about knock you off your feet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, I don't know. I don't usually get so involved in a case,
but this one really got me passionate. Yeah,
I don't know why. And, you know, because, like, of course, like, it's a sad situation. Mm-hmm. These three little babies died because of it, but I really feel like that's not her thing was that she had a psychotic break and she heard a man's voice tell her to do all of that.
Oh,
and I don't always believe. I love to watch true crime. I'm kind of a true crime person.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And when I see some of these stories, I don't know. But maybe it's the way they present it too. But I'm like, oh yeah, she planned this out. But with her, I don't feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
I really feel like she just with that, all that information they have of her medical history and things like that. I'm just like, I do believe it's possible. I don't know. I have some compassion
for
her.
My hope for her is...
Yeah. She needs help.
That she goes to... They get her to the mental institution.
That's what I would... If I were on that
jury,
I would
say
not guilty so she could go to the hospital.
Do you know what's going to happen to her?
What?
If she goes into prison, she'll kill herself.
I think so.
She won't get the help she needs, and no, she'll kill herself.
And when they're sitting in this trial, she is just sobbing. Like, mm-hmm. I know, like, I don't feel like this is something she...
She didn't want to do this. She didn't feel the...
Haven't you ever felt like, who... Like,
you who just are out, you? Like, what, you're, what
you
have
an
thinking?
Out-of-body experience almost, you know? Like...
Your emotions, your thinking isn't clear.
We're not trying to determine whether she did this or not. Like,
we know she did it.
Everybody knows she did it.
Just where is she going to go?
Is she going to go to jail? She's not going to ever be free.
In a mental institution.
And she's not right now. And like I said,
of course, our mental institutions, I don't know what's going on.
They're not as good either, but I feel like that would be better than prison at this point, because I don't feel like... Sometimes you can tell, like, oh, they're a calculated killer, like, they're going to kill again, blah, blah, blah. I don't think this is the case with her. No. I think she was like you and me, a normal mom.
And then you're just...
But she had all these mental health issues that were undiagnosed.
She was screaming for help.
And she was put on all these meds that made
her... Trying different things. This didn't work. This didn't work.
And as a result, it was a tragedy. This happened. Mm-hmm. It, you know, it tore apart this whole family. And now she's living with this. And, you know, and from the sounds of it, she doesn't want to live. Right. She's on suicide watch to this day. This is 3 years later. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think the best place for her just would be, you know, because she's already in her own prison.
Yeah,
you know?
She is. Yeah.
I mean, and I think what I feel for too is like, technically, that could have been me. Right. I mean, it could be any of us. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. If you're not, you can't find the right help, and you're seeking and seeking and seeking, and you just, there's a point sometimes where some of us, we don't give up, we just keep going, you know. And then we find help.
Yeah.
Like I that medication I was put on.
Yep.
I was like, wow, that was very helpful for me.
That's what she, and she know what?
She just needed something. She just couldn't, they couldn't find the right thing.
And she was type A, and they're trying to attack that. The prosecution is trying to attack that because.
And you and I are both type A.
And I'm like, I'm type A. You telling me, you know, I would do, you know, like that because I
just
don't
because
have
I'm organized and I have lists and I check and things off.
Yes.
And,
so what? So, I don't know. I don't usually get like this, but this prosecution.
This really got you.
I was she's not guilty. Like, I don't even know why we're even charging her at this case. I don't know why we're at trial. Like, she needs to be in the hospital. It's very clear that, like, you should have just been like, go to the hospital and be done. Like, why are we in trial and reliving all this trauma, you know? And it's just a sad situation, and unfortunately, it's not the only one.
Yeah.
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 And we really need to do better.
Yes, we do.
But so anyway, that's my obsession.
That's her obsession right now.
And then the trial's still going on, so I look at the videos every day, and I get mad at the prosecution, and I'm like, go defense. You should see me. And every day I come home and update my husband. And I go, you ready for today's update?
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know.
That's good.
This one got me for some reason.
Yeah.
It's just sad. Yeah.
It is sad.
I feel for everybody in this
moms
situation.
Out there, you know, our bodies go through so much.
Yeah.
And it's just
when she had these babies real back to back to back. I mean, I bet they were only like 2 years apart from each other.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that your body doesn't get a chance to recover.
Right.
Some women can just do that.
Yeah.
And some I wasn't one of those women. I was like, two is enough for me. Basically, two pregnancies I said was enough for me.
Yeah.
I can't do any more than that. But I wanted three kids.
Right.
So
The
Lord gave me my three kids
in
two pregnancies. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't have done a third pregnancy.
And I even, like I said, I don't necessarily suffer with a lot of those mental health issues. But even I was struggling. Like when I remember having insomnia.
You know, like when
Marshall would keep me up all night because he was teething.
Yeah.
Like he slept great when he was first born. But when he was teething.
It was horrible.
And I could not. I remember going to work that next day. Now I look back and like, why did I go to work? But I couldn't think straight.
Right. Do you know what I remember saying as my kids were young? I would be the most amazing mother if I got adequate sleep.
Right.
But I don't get any sleep, hardly. because there's somebody up and down on, you know, somebody's getting up for the 7 years, for 7 years straight from the time Peyton was born. Then the twins were born, and then it was, you know, when they hit 4 years old, 4 or 5, that's when I was like, wait a minute, I'm sleeping all night.
Right.
But I remember thinking I could be I would feel good about being an awesome mother because I would be.
Right.
I know I did the best I could.
Yeah.
And I know it was really good because my kids tell me, but anyway, but yet I didn't feel, because there was times I was like a little short mm-hmm. with them or whatever, but I was running on hardly any sleep, you know, and I was like, man, if I could just get some good sleep, I would.
And that's another thing with this case too, because they were saying how there is one medicine she went on that she stayed up for 48 hours straight.
Yeah, horrible. You know, and then you're loony. Loony with that. You can't think straight.
Don't knock the sleep thing, because there have been times when I've been up all night, not by choice, but because I was up with Marshall or whatever. Mm-hmm. And man, it did throw me for a loop. Like, I did feel, you're right, I felt loony. Like, and now looking back, I'm like, I don't even know why I went to work, because I couldn't function hardly. Mm-hmm. I was so tired. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's in us to fight through it. And it's in us to,
I know.
A lot of us.
And that's a mom thing. You know, we have to do it.
You keep going. Yeah.
You don't have a choice.
You don't stop. No.
Whether, you know, and
you don't feel good, you're still,
and sometimes, you know, and I'm wondering if, you know, having that mentality, I think the society teaches us that mentality as moms. And then now we're having all these issues with moms, you know, and mental health, you know, does that have a play in it too? That we should be paying attention to ourselves and taking the time to get the care we need.
Yeah.
We can't be.
And our system.
It's kind of like that airplane analogy, you know, like we have to put the oxygen on ourselves first before we can help somebody else.
Yeah, exactly. So what do we want after this little visit here? Mm-hmm. What do we want to leave the listeners with? What do we want to leave them with? Let's see. You know what? We're not alone.
Yeah. That.
Don't stop trying to get help.
Don't. Find
looking.
Support.
Don't stop. Find support.
Support groups even. Talk. At least, you know,
the support group that we're doing.
I know
talking is really helping.
I would always
helping.
Talk to you.
Yes.
Like when I first had Marshall and stuff, and I remember that one day we were teaching together and I had been up all night and you're like, what's wrong?
Yeah.
And I was like, I've been up all night. And you're like, okay, this is what you need to do.
Yeah.
Like,
and I'm like, let me take it. You just chill here. Yeah. Let me take it. Because wow.
So
you know, find that support person.
We don't have to hide
No.
I think sometimes
we
think we need to, but we don't. Yeah. Like, even if it's just one person, like, please tell somebody.
Yeah.
Even if you're scared, or you're even scared of the thoughts you're having.
Do
that.
Do not keep it to yourself.
Yeah. The society wants to tell us to self-isolate. No, that's
don't
when
do
you've
it.
Got to find your people.
You do. Find your people.
To. Yeah. I can't stress that enough.
Well. What a great, I love that. Thank you for all that information. I sometimes have no idea what's going on out there in that world.
I don't usually either, but
I get in my bubble and kind of do my thing. Well, thank you for listening to another episode of Grit
and Grace
with Dana
and Alexis.